It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, we begin a series of conversations about big ideas in partnership with the Cedar Rapids Gazette. The Gazette is hosting a nonpartisan statewide learning experience in conjunction with the launch of their new magazine called Iowa Ideas. They'll be holding events around the state, culminating in a two-day conference in Cedar Rapids in September, and they're kicking things off in Cedar Rapids tomorrow with conversations about new ideas in education. You can find out more information about the events on our Facebook page or on our Twitter feed at IPR Talk. And this hour, we'll get a preview of tomorrow's Iowa Ideas conversation about education. We're going to start the hour with Trace Pickering. He is executive director for the Iowa Big Program in Cedar Rapids. He is also associate director for Education Reimagined in Washington, D.C. He'll be speaking tomorrow about the paradigm shift from school-centered learning to learner-centered education. Hello, Trace.
Hello, Charity. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for being here today.
That's great to be here.
Now, for people who don't specialize in education policy, what I just said can sound a little bit dense. School-centered learning to learner-centered education. Explain what that means to us.
Yeah, just in short term, we've organized our school system to serve the industrial age economy of the early 20th century, and it fundamentally still operates with that purpose in mind. And so everything we do with schools and how we think about what school looks like is focused on school and how we currently picture it and how we currently experienced it. Learner-centered education is really about focusing on specifically what the learner needs and organizing learning environments to serve the learner, not design standardized kinds of schools.
Okay, and of course, I'm sure one of the things that people immediately think is, well, that's a lot of students. We can't design a program for every individual student, but give me an idea of how this looks in practice, because obviously it's not changing the program for every single student.
Right, right. So right now we're really good at batching kids by age, and then we assume because they're the same age, they should be about the same place in a particular curriculum or their ability to read or their maturity level. And that's just, it's pretty clear that's not true. So it's not so much about, in Cedar Rapids, 17,000 separate specific learning paths for kids, but really about what is it these learners need and how are we making sure that we're helping them self-actualize. And so Iowa Big is one example of many across the state that are attempting to do that. And while we still have a lot to learn about how it works and how to scale it, we're pretty encouraged by some of the results we're seeing.
All right. And tell me about Iowa Big. What's the idea behind the program?
Okay. So Iowa Big was actually designed by the Cedar Rapids community. We put 60 community leaders and adults back to high school as students about 5 years ago so they could experience high school with their adult experiences and adult eyes. And they came back and saw the good things going on, the things that needed adjusted. And basically, we gave them a blank sheet of paper and said, given what you know now about this experience, and what it is we all collectively pretty much agree on what people need to know, do, and be like to be successful adults, what kind of school would you design? And so they designed Iowa Big, and it's basically built on three ideas. Number one, focus on student passions and interests, because our community says, show me somebody who's passionate about what they do, and I'll show you someone who's successful. They'll be resilient. They'll do the extra work. They'll stay focused, they'll fight through, they'll be successful. So take students' passions and use that as a strong lever for learning. Connect them to real, authentic projects that solve real problems. We have plenty of those to go around. We really don't need to make up projects and tasks for kids. And number three, put them out in the community. Get them connected to the great people in our city and our state and help show them why Iowa's a place they should consider staying after their education's over.
So give me an example of a project in action with Iowa Big.
Sure. There are several. One that comes to mind, the city of Cedar Rapids and Blue Zones and Trees Forever had a project. They wanted to bring urban orchards to our community that would eventually have fruit trees and things that residents could not only enjoy the scenery of, but then have access to the food. And so our students took that on as a project, did all the research, learned about pH levels in the soil for their science, the kinds of fruit trees and plants that were best, what parks in the city would be conditionally the best places to plant them, did build all the signage, organized the tree planting days, worked with Trees Forever to ensure that there would be people in the community that would care for the trees over time. And so our students got to do that in community while they learned their science, their math, English, and got core academic credit in those areas for doing that kind of project.
And where does the idea come from? You want us to tap into the student passion. So the students that, do they just sign up for Iowa Big?
Yes, yeah. So right now we have three school districts as partners, Cedar Rapids, Linmar, and College Community. And we also have, we serve some students from Mount Vernon as well. They can take Iowa Big as part of their traditional high school course. They choose courses that they want to take at Big. And when they get to us, about a half a day, the program's about a half a day for most kids. They get a look at the 100 projects or so that we have in our project pool and get to decide on which projects are calling them, what projects are they interested in. And the teacher's job isn't to build a curriculum and deliver that curriculum first. The teacher's job is now, what skills and content are these students going to need to make this project successful? So the teaching, the focus goes from the teacher deciding the order of the content to the teacher responding to the individual learner as to what they need.
Now, I know you've got an incredible variety of projects that you've done with Iowa Big. So to help us understand how the program works, I'd like to hear about a couple of other projects. I know you had a group of students that were interested in working on the problem of plastic in the ocean.
Yeah, that was one of ours. So we have inbound and outbound projects. So an inbound is something the community, we bring from the community, like the Trees Forever project. But we also have outbound projects, which are projects that kids want to pitch to the community. And so this was one of those. They were really interested in the plastics in the ocean, that big swirling mess out in one of the oceans, which led to a conversation with our science teacher about plasticides. And it's not just an eyesore, that's actually damaging to the environment. That got the kids excited and interested. And so they went about building an aqua drone that would map plasticides in the water, connected periodically with the DNR, and were basically built a self-powered system where they could launch this kayak, and they built the spectrometers and designed all of it to measure plasticides in the water. So heavy STEM, heavy engineering project that the kids initiated.
So I realize that so many different elements of a traditional school curriculum have to be put into making these projects work. And you've talked about science, and you've talked about math and English. And how do you measure, or do you measure, whether the students are progressing in those areas in the way that we feel they need to progress?
Yeah, so of course we have the Iowa Common Core set of standards. So we adhere to those just like any school would. So, for example, in language arts, there are standards about quality of the written communication, oral communication, speaking and listening, research. And so our teachers are constantly assessing and looking at student work. So rather than students writing a 5-paragraph essay about something, they're learning how to write an effective business email, or correspond in a letter, or writing a position paper to argue for why someone should fund their plasticide mapping project, right? So they're real-world applications, and the teacher then is able to use those documents to say, yes, the student is meeting the standard, or no, they're not. And if they're not, the teacher then knows, here's what I need to present to the student and help them understand so that they do meet the standard. And so that's such an important thing for us, and we knew that was one of the areas where we might get some pushback. So our teachers validate standards 3 times. So a student can't just meet it once and be validated. We need to see it 3 times in context so that we have stronger evidence that they actually can perform that task.
And for students who sign up for Iowa Big, how long does it last?
It's up to the student. Most students take it for a whole year. It's primarily juniors and seniors, although we do have some sophomores. So they engage in projects. Like I said, most of them go the whole year. One of the great things, we knew we were onto something a few years ago when we couldn't get the seniors to stop coming in the summer.
They graduated from high school, but they wouldn't stop participating.
Right. They're like, are you guys going to be here this summer? Because I want to keep working on my project. We're like, well, you're graduated. And they're like, well, yeah, I know that, but I care about my project. So that's what really is important to us, is that we help kids rekindle that love of learning and that desire to keep moving forward and take ownership of their own education.
I'm talking with Trace Pickering. He is Executive Director for the Iowa Big Program in Cedar Rapids. He's also Associate Director for Education Reimagined in Washington, D.C. He'll be speaking tomorrow about the paradigm shift from school-centered to learner-centered education. We've been talking about the Iowa Big Program. We're going to bring a student in the Iowa Big Program into the conversation here in just a second. And we're going to continue our conversation this hour about new ideas in education. This is part of a partnership between Iowa Public Radio and the Cedar Rapids Gazette. The Gazette is hosting a nonpartisan statewide learning experience in conjunction with the launch of their new magazine called Iowa Ideas. They're holding events tomorrow in Cedar Rapids to talk about education, and you can find out more on our Facebook page or on our Twitter feed at IPR Talk. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about new ideas in education. This is the start of a series that we're doing in partnership with the Cedar Rapids Gazette, talking about big ideas for the state of Iowa. They're launching a new magazine and a series around the state called Iowa Ideas. And as I mentioned, we're talking about education. With me right now, Trace Pickering. He's Executive Director for the Iowa Big Program in Cedar Rapids. He's Associate Director for Education Reimagined in Washington, D.C. He'll be speaking tomorrow about the paradigm shift from school-centered to learner-centered education. And we've been talking a lot about the Iowa Big Program. I want to bring somebody with some firsthand knowledge of the Iowa Big Program into the conversation. Jamar Lee is here with us. He's a junior at Cedar Rapids Prairie High School, and he's a participant in the program. Hello, Jamar. Oh, just a second. There you go. Hello, Jamar. Can you hear me?
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Yep. How are you?
Good.
So tell me, how long have you been involved with Iowa Big?
I've been involved with Iowa Big since my second semester of my sophomore year.
All right. And what made you want to sign up for it?
Well, in my past, I have always had a hate for education. And you can actually read that story on my blog site at www.journeywithjamar.wordpress. But just to sum it up in a nutshell, you know, that hate for school had me become a very rebellious and misbehaved student. And towards the end of my, or in my sophomore year, I had an incident where I was escorted out of the school by a police officer because of being misbehaved. And that was kind of an eye-opening situation on trying to find a new style of learning that I would enjoy and actually excel in. And so I knew about Iowa Big, and so I had went to my counselor and just asked, how do I get involved? And they had signed me up, and I came to the visit day, and I had basically fell in love with the idea. That's kind of how I got involved with it.
All right, and what have you been working on?
My first year at Iowa Big, I had the opportunity to design the new Iowa Big space that we're in the Geometric building.
So wait a minute. So you actually got to design, as this program is being built, you actually got to design the space that it would be taught in?
Yep. The new space that we moved into this fall. which was a really neat opportunity because my passion is around interior design, architecture, and that sort of stuff. So what I did was I didn't just draw a floor plan and then hand it to them and say, this is what I did. I went in depth. I used Google SketchUp. I researched the psychology of learning, open office spaces, maker spaces, what color helps students learn best, what furniture engages students best. Put all that into my research. I presented that to the building owner and building manager of Geometric, and exciting enough, it was actually accepted. So as being a 16-year-old and seeing my floor plan actually built and having people working it every day is kind of a dream come true.
Yeah, so was it a competition? Did other students also create designs?
No, I don't believe any other students did. It really wasn't a competition. It was just coming into BIG, was just getting used to how the projects worked, and I had expressed, you know, this is my passion with interior design and architecture, and this time they were accepting or starting floor plan designs for this space, and so they just came to me and said, try it, go for it, and so I did.
So, Jamar, you were a student that the regular classroom just really wasn't working for. Has being a part of this program, has it made all of school work a little better for you?
Absolutely. Coming to this program, I feel that I don't have to meet a certain expectation. Like you guys were speaking before with Traces, it's learner-centered education. The learning is fitting to the student. So with these projects, they don't know the outcome of them. Even if my project were to fail or like my floor plan didn't get accepted last year, I still learned a whole lot. I still showed proficiency in literature and stuff like that. So not having to sit at a desk and being lectured to for 8 periods of days, but having the freedom to come and do a project and actually having a purpose makes me enjoy my learning a lot better.
I think about that crossroads that you were at, and a lot of students get there, that school just doesn't mm-hmm. work for them, and there's a point at which things really come to a crisis. Mm-hmm. At that point, a lot of students stop going to school or wind up going somewhere else. So when you think about that moment and then turning toward Iowa Big, how do you think that has impacted your life?
Well, it's impacted me greatly. Like I was kind of saying, the hate for school became embedded in me, and that led to me becoming a rebellious student, becoming bored, skipping class, lashing out on my principal because I was tired of the way I was being taught and how I myself couldn't show their standard of being a smart student when I knew I had it in me, but the way I was being taught wasn't for me. So coming to this learning environment and having the teachers know that I can show them the way I want to learn, and if that kind of answers your question in a way.
Do you feel like it might have made the difference between graduating from high school and not?
Absolutely. Having my GPA at the 2.0s and dropping and now having it back up to a 3.5 has been tremendous. And also, you know, school is a big part of students' lives. We go through it every day. So now enjoying school and coming to a place where I like to be kind of upped my quality of life in a way.
Jamar, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yeah, most certainly. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Jamar Lee is a junior at Cedar Rapids Prairie High School. He's a participant in the Iowa Big program. And Trace, I can only imagine how it feels to listen to a student who's educational career, at least, has been really turned around by your program. But, you know, for so long, opportunities like this, like Iowa Big, if they were available at all, were only available to the very best students. And in some ways, you're turning that on its head. You're taking students who are showing this interest, who want this kind of opportunity, but may not have been doing well in school in the past. Do you feel like we were going down the wrong road when this was only available to so-called gifted students?
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the limitations of the traditional educational system is it's designed to try to hit kids at that average, right? And so then we end up spending all kinds of time and resources trying to differentiate for not only special ed students, but for students who are quote, gifted based on test scores. And test scores are often a poor way of determining who's actually gifted. And so it has really left students like Jamar out. And so the Iowa Big program is really, what we're really trying to show is kind of the future as it exists in the present, that we can have a different approach to how we educate kids that lights the fire of the kids who traditionally do very well and those that the system was not designed for, like Jamar. And that's to me, is what I love so much about it, is that, you know, we have lots of stories like Jamar. His isn't the only one giving kids a learner-centered education where we hand the keys to them and say, you need to be in charge of your learning. We're here to help you make those decisions and put resources in front of you that allow you to shine. I think we can do that for every kid in Iowa.
Trace Pickering is here with me. He's executive director for the Iowa Big Program in Cedar Rapids. He'll be speaking tomorrow about the paradigm shift from school-centered to learner-centered education. And Trace, stay with us, but I want to bring somebody else into the conversation now. Laura Wood is here. She is a 21st century learning specialist with the Green Prairie and Great Hills Area Education Associations. She'll be giving a presentation on redesigned learning environments, including examples from around the state tomorrow. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Sherry.
Thank you so much for being here today. And I know that a lot of your ideas are along the same pathway as Trace's, talking about taking the needs of the students into consideration and creating an environment where students can learn in a more dynamic way. Give me an idea of some of the things that you're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to say I am a big fan of Trace Pickering and Iowa Big, and I actually got to meet Jamar in person, along with another student named Hannah, a great kid. So I just wanted to say that first off. And, you know, Iowa Big, I would say, has inspired me as an educator. I remember following them when I was teaching, and I just wanted to make learning more authentic and more real for the students so that I could get buy-in, because, you know, in a traditional learning environment, we're very constrained. With time and bells and, 20, 30 students in a classroom, it's really hard to have those authentic learning experiences. So in that, I work at the AEAs. So I work for Great Prairie and Green Hills AEA in Southern Iowa. So part of my job is to sort of help with this shift in education. So moving from traditional practices to more student-centered. And so a lot of what I do is help with these new redesigned learning environments. So we have several popping up in Southern Iowa, and this is basically not your traditional classroom. So I help facilitate learning with teachers, leaders, and how to use these spaces to bring authentic learning to the students.
All right. So give me an idea of what a redesigned learning environment might look like, because, of course, all of us are experts in school. We all went through it. We know what our classrooms looked like. But some of these spaces are very different from traditional classrooms.
Oh, yeah. The first thing I would say is they're comfortable. They're colorful. They have comfortable seating, different seating options, because people are different and they want to sit or even stand while they're learning or being active in a classroom. So one of my favorite pieces of furniture in these environments is the booth style seating that you might see at a restaurant. So if you can imagine working with a group of students on a project, sitting at a booth, way more comfortable than a desk. And then you'll see, tables for collaboration. You're going to see, I've seen stairs, some kids like to sit on stairs. You'll see stools, you'll see, even yoga balls, something, I imagine if you've seen Google, out in California, their offices is starting to transition into something more like that. And actually, if you would like to see some pictures for those listening at a computer or on a device, if you go to classroom21c.weebly.com, you can see some examples there. And we also have some of our local schools' images of their redesigned environments to give you a better idea of what it looks like.
So when you think about redesigning an environment, you know, obviously funds are always difficult to come by for schools. Are you thinking about redesigning all classrooms, or is this like a special learning space in the school where all classes would have an opportunity to visit and participate at times?
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up. I think there's different merging models of this happening all over, and I think it depends on the school district and the funds available and the space available. So I've seen, like, media centers being redesigned. I've seen hallways being redesigned, old ICN rooms being turned into these collaboration spaces. I've seen classrooms being redesigned. And I actually came out of a environment where, you know, our administrators decided to change or, well, to redesign two eighth grade science classrooms in Mount Pleasant. And so I come from the idea that the classroom itself was redesigned. And I think that in itself allowed for a lot more opportunities that maybe I wouldn't have had if I had to reserve a space. However, it just depends on funds, and I think it's better to have, you know, this type of environment than not having one. So it just depends. I mean, you're going to see lots of different versions of this popping up and what fits the school district and their needs.
Well, and I have a lot of friends who are teachers. I've seen individual teachers turn their classrooms into an environment with a flexible seating arrangement, and I see them asking friends, do you have exercise balls? Do you have pillows you can share? So clearly there are
Absolutely.
Teachers who are doing this on their own, and we know that a lot of teachers invest a lot of their own money into their teaching environment. What kind of a difference does that make?
Well, yeah, absolutely on redesigning without, you know, not necessarily getting a huge grant to, you know, redesign the space. I think it does make a difference if you are supported financially. I mean, it gives you opportunities to have different technologies in the room. And then obviously the furniture is really, I would say it's pretty fancy if you do have the funds. But you can certainly redesign your classroom to be more fitting for 21st century learning. And by that, I mean an environment that promotes creativity, communication, critical thinking, and collaboration. Those are the four C's that I think to be the pillar of 21st century learning. And so I think whether you do it small or big, it's going to be better than not having it at all. I think the students really like having the sort of the 4C environment in the sense of, I'll just give an example. I've been working a lot with Albia School District. They have a room called the 4C room, and they are having, you know, lots of classes coming through, different science classes. I've seen elementary classes coming over from the elementary to use this space for digital breakouts. So I think, I mean, you can tell there's a difference. It's different than being in your classroom and going to this space because the students' behaviors start to change.
And tell me more about that. How do student behaviors start to change? Because this sounds fun, but
yeah.
What's the payoff?
Well, they're basically, and I would say it again, that they're engaging in 21st century skills. We talk about career readiness. You know, kids are working together to solve a problem. They're collaborating. They're talking. It's okay to be noisy in this place, and I would say that it facilitates student agency. And, you know, it's funny, in the beginning, when you first put students in this, they kind of, like, don't know what to do, and they're not used to it. And I know when I was teaching, I actually, you know, moving from, like, you know, book works and, you know, worksheets, which I never really liked to do or give as a teacher, but when kids came into my room, they're like, can't we just have a worksheet? Like, I don't want to have to think. And so there is a transition happening, and even students, you know, are going to have to go through that change. Like, oh, school doesn't have to be the way that I thought school was.
Now, I know that you're also working a lot to integrate technology into classrooms, giving teachers new tools, apps, and of course, a lot of students are applying for grants to get Chromebooks, things like that, into their classroom. Sometimes it feels like maybe we put a little too much emphasis on technology. Do you feel like changing the environment with some of these low-tech options has as much of an impact?
Well, I think it needs to be a blend. I truly do. I mean, it depends on what your purpose is. You know, form follows function. So, you know, I think technology is definitely engaging. So if you're trying to engage your students in something, technology can be that pathway. It's also a tool for students. But I don't think it all, you know, I don't think it's all or nothing. I think it's a blend. I think you want kids to be hands-on and creative. And, you know, if a good old-fashioned pencil and paper can help them design what they're trying to think about, then I think that's great.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. With me, Laura Wood, 21st Century Learning Specialist with the Green Prairie and Great Hills Area Education Association. Also, Trace Pickering is still with me, Executive Director for the Iowa Big Program in Cedar Rapids. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about new ideas in education. This is part of a partnership between Iowa Public Radio and the Cedar Rapids Gazette. The Gazette is hosting a nonpartisan statewide learning experience in conjunction with the launch of their new magazine called Iowa Ideas. You can find out more about the events in this series on our Facebook page or also on our Twitter feed at IPR Talk. And with me right now, I have Trace Pickering. He's Executive Director for the Iowa Big Program in Cedar Rapids and Associate Director for Education Reimagined in Washington, D.C. Laura Wood is here. She's a 21st Century Learning Specialist with the Green Prairie and Great Hills Area Education Associations. And I also now want to bring Scott Palmer into the conversation. He is the Information Management Design Instructor with APEX, which is part of the Waukee School System. This is another one of these programs designed to be learner-centered education. Hello, Scott.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here. And tell me how APEX works.
APEX is in, it's similar to BIG. We've had a lot of conversation with them. We kind of sometimes call them our partners in crime here. We're kind of working together. But APEX is about getting authentic work and professional experiences out to high school age students. Any way we can make that happen in whatever interest areas they may have.
All right. So give me an example of how APEX has been in action.
So, for example, my team, I'm the information management design instructor, so we do a lot of back-end web development and app development for different companies throughout the metro. For example, there's the HyperStream program here in the state of Iowa needed a new website last year, and so my team took that on, and we went through all the way from start to finish designing and implementing their new website for the – and they actually do the tech sector for the whole state of Iowa.
So they hired you? I mean, how does that work?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So actually, in a way, the way we sell ourselves to business partners out in the Des Moines area is we tell them that we're kind of a consulting firm, really, where we get projects that come in, and then we try to decide where those should be at, what team best fits that, and then we develop some sort of product that we give back out to the businesses.
All right.
And so the students get a chance to work with actual business partners and hands-on stuff and actually see the value of their work because it's out in the area. And then the businesses get the actual work itself. So it's kind of a we help them and they help us at the same time.
All right. And is there some back and forth? I mean, if I'm having a new website design for my business, I want to have some control over how it's going to look.
Oh, yeah. So most of mine, and especially in the tech sector, all of mine become Agile trained. And anybody that's familiar with Agile knows that one of the big pillars of Agile is just getting iterations and getting them out as quickly as possible. So my team has a sprint every week. And so in the Agile world, they're called sprints, meaning at the end of every week, my team will email out and say, this is what we worked on this week. This is where we're at. What do you think about this so far? And then we get feedback, and then we keep going from there.
All right. And as we were talking about with Iowa Big earlier, students sign up for this program. Do students have to meet certain qualifications to be a part of APEX?
No, that's a great question. What we like to say is we're for everybody. Everybody has an interest and a passion, and everybody's going to eventually have to be a worker of some sort. And so this is kind of where we get to marry those ideas that everybody eventually will have some sort of job with a boss and have to be a professional at some point. So four-fifths of our curriculum is actually not even centered around any of the tech skills. You know, we have a medical sector, and then we have a design sector. But four-fifths of all of those classes is just about all those universal constructs that I heard Laura talking about with collaboration and creativity and all of that. So the other one-fifth is then your passion area. What do you like to do? What area would you like to explore?
And so, again, we were talking earlier with Iowa Big about how they are, you know, tracking students to make sure that they are getting what they need to get out of this. People are very concerned with meeting certain benchmarks. How do you know? How do you check to make sure that these students are gaining the skills that they need to be able to graduate from high school?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our curriculum was actually developed by our advisory board. We have about 21 members on this advisory board, and they sat down and decided what should go into all of these courses. And then what happened, we develop a curriculum, and then we have evidence-based. So we say, hey, we need to have some evidence that you were collaborating with somebody. What did that look like?
And you talk about tapping into the student's passion. You know, I think about so many college students. And, Trace, I'd love to have you jump in on this as well. But, you know, so many people go to college, for example, and have no idea what they really want to do with their lives. Asking an 18-year-old to decide, that seems like kind of a big thing to ask of them. And now we're talking about students' passions when they're 16 and 17 or even 15 years old. What if a student goes down a road and then they don't like the experience? What do you think they get out of it anyway? And, Scott, you go first, and then Trace.
The great part about the program, too, is one of the standards in each of the courses is centered around that career exploration, because we don't want that to happen when you get to college and you're spending $20,000 to $25,000 a year trying to decide what you want to do with your life. So we do a lot of job shadowing and a lot of informational interviews where we actually send them out to these businesses to see these jobs in action to see if it's actually something they would like.
All right. And Trace, what's your take on that? I mean, if you've got a student investing an incredible amount of time going down a certain pathway, do you feel like that's something that if they don't like what they're doing, is that a waste of time?
My answer is similar to Scott. Too many times, and you know, I've got a daughter in the same place, it's going to cost her an extra year of college because she didn't get enough opportunities to explore potential things she might be interested in. And so now she's got another year of college to pay for because she decided too late. And so a lot of people are concerned. They think that we're trying to funnel kids into passion areas and they're stuck there. But for us, it's about the learning. We know that teenagers, their passions change constantly in their interests, and we're okay with that. It's not about us making them find a certain pathway. For us, it's, what are they interested in now, and how can we use that interest to drive their learning and help them explore and so forth? Like Jamar talked about being an architect, and he built that out. He's not sure he wants to be an architect yet, so he's out exploring other things, and that's the beauty of it. It's not the traditional school model where we're trying to jam kids into a track that they're stuck in. I think you'd find at Apex and Big, that's not what either program's about.
I want to ask all of you, as we near the end of this hour, this conversation is a nonpartisan conversation. The conversation being held by the Cedar Rapids Gazette tomorrow is a nonpartisan conversation. But there has been a lot of fighting about education going on with funding, with different ideas about voucher systems, et cetera. Trace, I know that you're part of the Education Reimagined organization. You're associate director for that in Washington, D.C. And first of all, tell me a little bit about what that organization is trying to do right now.
Yeah, so Education Reimagined is actually a group from Convergence Policy. And Convergence Policy's whole reason for existence is to take issues of national importance that we're deeply divided on and pull together people from across the spectrum, left, right, center, everybody, and see if you can't bring them together and find out what's the third direction, what is it we can agree on that we all care about, and try to move away from fighting about the how. Because honestly, all we do right now is fight about how we're going to make the existing system a tiny bit better. We're not having the conversation about what is it we truly want education to produce, and are we willing to transform it? So Education Reimagined spawned out of the results of that and the vision that this group across the political spectrum came together to write. And they came up with, we need education to be learner-centered, and we need to fundamentally rethink the whole system.
All right. So do you feel like this is a time when people are open to these ideas? I mean, fundamentally rethinking and redesigning education is not just a big, big thing to take on. It's also an expensive thing to take on. Trace, do you feel like people are open to these ideas right now?
Well, obviously not everyone is open to them, but we, you know, I'm hopeful. I see lots, a lot more people. I know certainly in our community here in Cedar Rapids, a strong core of people are seeing it and are supporting it. But it was something you mentioned earlier, that the toughest part is the inertia. We all went to school, most of us in a public school or a parochial school that's designed like a public school in terms of how it organized. So we all have this this background, and we think we know what it should look like.
We think if it was good enough for me.
Right, it worked for us, and you know, but it's, we're not preparing kids for our past. We're preparing them for their future, and you know, and it is tough. And I'm not sure how expensive it will be to shift it around. Iowa Big doesn't cost any more than the traditional model's costing, but obviously, to implement a new system is going to require some upfront capital. But I'm convinced that long term it can be a much more efficient as well as a more effective approach.
Well, and I want to ask you, Laura, do you find that people are open to these ideas right now when you're talking with teachers, when you're talking with schools? Again, money is always a big issue.
I would say that when I'm out in the field, I would say that it's a pretty positive response to this idea. I think it excites people. There's always going to be hesitancy, especially if you're, you know, you're afraid of change, or if you, maybe you don't think you're going to be prepared for it. I think that's, so part of my job at the AEA is to help, with professional development, but I kind of want to change that word to professional experiences, because I think you need to experience this type of learning, before you can fully buy into it, especially if you haven't gone through, you know, this type of learning.
And I want to turn to the phones. Karen is on the line in Kelowna with a really interesting question. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I'd like to know if, given that the United States typically ranks below virtually every other developed country as far as education of their students go, if any of our competitors who rank much higher than us, for example, Scandinavian countries, implement these kinds of programs with their limited education dollars?
Actually, yes. Finland is number one for quite a while. They are actively moving away from separating out courses and classes, so you don't have American Lit and then go down the hall to take American History and then chemistry and those kind of things. They're trying to integrate those things in. So we're seeing some examples of that happening in some of those high performing countries as well.
Interesting. Karen, thank you so much for your question. And Trace, I want to go back to something that you said earlier. I mean, you're working with high school students with Iowa Big. Scott's working with high school students with Apex. But you said something earlier about how, you know, we put children in classrooms together based on their age. And anybody who's ever spent any time in a classroom and looked around can see and experience that these children, who may all be 8 or 9 years old, are at vastly different developmental levels. Is that something that you're trying to rethink as well, the idea that we don't just put kids in grades and classes because of their birthday?
That's certainly one of the old trappings of the current system, and it just makes it easier for the adults to manage the system, right? It's easier that way, but it's not best for what our kids need. So in Cedar Rapids and elsewhere, like in Cedar Rapids, we have two elementary schools that have become magnet schools that are doing some of these same things, rethinking the way they organize the kids and the adults, and rethinking how they engage kids in learning, and all those kind of things. So we see it happening at all the levels.
Scott, I want to turn back to you. With your experience with Apex, do you find that there are other groups in the area, other schools near you, turning to you and saying, hey, we want to do this too?
Yeah, there's, I believe in the last, so we're in our third year of being a program, and I believe there's been over 50-some schools that have come through, some multiple times, just trying to get an idea of how we're doing things and how it might work for them. Because, and I think everyone can agree, too, that this isn't a blanket, like this will work for everybody no matter what, do these many things. It kind of depends on your area. It depends on your school. It depends on a lot of different factors. But there are quite a few that have been through. I know I actually just hosted Laura not that long ago. She came through with her AEA just to see how we're doing everything as well. So a lot of interest.
All right. And Trace, I'll turn back to you. I mean, big idea that's really exciting, or Iowa Big is really exciting. Apex is really exciting. But when you look at the number of students who are actually participating in that, of course, the vast majority are still doing the traditional high school experience. Where do you see going from there? What else needs to be part of this high school experience in addition to these ideas?
That's a great question. You know, we're just getting started, so everything has to start smaller scale, which I think is important because, you know, this is very new for everybody, for our public, for many of our teachers, just getting their heads around this. So, you know, programs like Apex and Big are incredibly important because they help show the way forward, and they allow us to make mistakes along the way on a much smaller scale so that we can learn from them before we go with large-scale implementations. But that, I think that becomes the next set of conversations, is how do you take experiences like Apex and Big and start to ensure that all kids have access to them? Because it's, you know, Big isn't the answer, Apex isn't the answer. They're one manifestation of what it could look like. So each community can really, if they're willing to, really rethink how they want their kids to be engaged in their community and in learning and what it could look like. It can take on a variety of different shapes.
Well, Trace Pickering, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Trace Pickering, Executive Director for the Iowa Big Program in Cedar Rapids, Associate Director for Education Reimagined in Washington, D.C. I want to say thank you to you as well, Scott Palmer, who is Information Management Design Instructor with Apex, part of the Waukee School System. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Laura, as I let you go, I'm going to give you the final word. As somebody working, you know, with students at all different levels, I realize that there's going to be some resistance to this. Do you feel like there's momentum on your side?
Yeah, I do think so. I have a very positive outlook on this. It's going to take time, and it's going to take people to push this message forward. I think it's great what Waukee Apex and Iowa Big are doing because, like you said, they are serving as models. We have pockets of administrators that are excited to do this. New London and Danville, they're starting their own kind of version of Iowa Big, and we're actually housing it at the AEA. And I do think that part of our role at the AEA will be to help scale things like this. You were talking about equity. And so, yeah, these things are great, but how many kids are they affecting, and how can we get more of these experiences to all of our Iowa students?
Well, Laura, we're out of time, but thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yep, thank you.
Laura Wood, 21st Century Learning Specialist with Green Prairie and Great Hills Area Education Associations. They're all part of the Iowa Ideas Project from the Cedar Rapids Gazette.